The last experience of the sinner is the horrible enslavement of the freedom he desired. C.S. Lewis. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Hosea chapter 4, verse 17. We learned earlier that English evangelist George Whitefield was one of the most powerful Christian figures of the 18th century. Wherever he traveled in colonial America, thousands would flock to hear him preach. But though his oratory skills held audiences spellbound, he was nevertheless a highly controversial figure. One of the reasons for this was that Whitefield simply held nothing back. He spoke bluntly about sin, sins, and salvation. Because of this, some churches refused to allow him into their pulpits. In fact, so offended were some of his listeners that, on occasion, they even hurled objects at him while he preached, including rotten eggs, stones, and even a dead cat. That's dead cat preaching. This chapter qualifies under that category. Translated, what you are about to hear is filterless and will likely offend some. Jesus' preaching often had the same effect. For example, when he described the nature of genuine salvation to his disciples, Jesus warned, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. These words are clearly offensive to those who believe all religions lead to heaven, but they are also authoritative, as Jesus is God. According to him, knowing God is the authenticating trademark of every true believer. Being religious, being good, trying hard, or joining a church won't cut it, but knowing God will. Later, Jesus would define the essence of eternal life in the same way, knowing God. And yet many of today's Christians struggle to articulate what this phrase actually means. Beyond an elementary understanding of God as a loving Father, Jesus as a friend to sinners, the importance of living a good life and serving others, their knowledge of God doesn't go much deeper. Is it any surprise, then, that the average American's understanding of God is even more shallow? Researcher George Gallup has stated, "Americans revere the Bible, but by and large don't read it. And because they don't read it, they have become a nation of biblical illiterates. Most Christians cannot name the Ten Commandments or even the books of the Bible." Further, a Barna poll found that 12% of Americans believe Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. Another survey discovered that more than 50% of graduating high school seniors thought Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. Of course, it comes as no surprise that unbelievers would be ignorant about Scripture. But this epidemic of biblical illiteracy has also infected the church. A 2014 Lifeway research study revealed that just 45% of those who attend church regularly read the Bible more than once a week. 18% say they don't read it at all. And yet, as professing Christians, we claim a loyalty and affinity to the Word of God. These sad realities beg a legitimate question.